This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, presented by Massage Envy, the first podcast devoted entirely to Arkansas baseball. Featuring insight from Arkansas baseball color analyst Bubba Carpenter. Here's Matt Jones.
It's season four of the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, season number 100 of Razorback Baseball, and Arkansas is expecting to have another great team this season. The Razorbacks top 10 in most of the preseason polls, number four in the coaches poll, which is the poll of record that we use. Matt Jones joined by Bubba Carpenter, the Razorback Baseball great three-time All-Southwest Conference player for the Razorbacks in the late 1980s, early 1990s, former big leaguer, longtime professional baseball player. Bubba, we are excited to have you on the podcast. What are your thoughts about the 22 Razorbacks?
Matt, I'm excited to be here, and I'm really excited about this group of players, this team. You know, it's one of those things, they just tend to rebuild every year. It's crazy how they just reload every year, and Dave Van Horn and his staff have done a great job of replacing the pieces that were drafted, and a lot of new talent in here. I just think it's going to be a great year. You know, you look at everything that this team did last year, 50-13. The number that stands out to me, you know, I'm a hitter, Matt. I love talking about hitting, 109 home runs. And I think this team has more power potential. They're more athletic. There's some pure hitters in the lineup. Got a lot of big arms that came in. We just got to figure out who's going to be the guys to step up to get those big outs when we need them. We know we lost a really important piece last year with Kevin Copps, and so there's some holes to fill, but I tell you what, I think the talent's there, and I think it's going to be a real exciting year for Razorback baseball fans.
There's so many professional type players on this team. I think about, you know, Caden Wallace, Robert Moore. Those two are probably going to be first-round, second-round draft picks this year, if not high first-round draft picks. I think Baseball America's got Robert Moore ranked its number eight best collegiate prospect this year in the draft. Now, that doesn't take into consideration the high schoolers who are coming out, but you know, the way the draft has been going here, Bubba, lately is that it seems like the teams are really leaning more toward going with the experienced college players. Because in a lot of instances, I mean, you think about, Andrew Benintendi even coming out of Arkansas. It seems like those players who have gone to college, they're more maybe big league ready, you know, in a shorter amount of time. And you've got a lot of those types of players at Arkansas this year. I mentioned Wallace and Moore. I think there are some other players who are, you know, not draft eligible this season, say like a Peyton Stovall, who's a freshman, who are going to be in that position in future years. I just can't remember a lineup at Arkansas that seems as talented and maybe as, you know, ready for pretty good level of professional baseball as this one has.
I think you're right, Matt. And, you know, you look at the facilities that we have here at University of Arkansas, just the development that we can offer a kid. And I think it's a great recruiting tool for Dave Van Horn and his staff. You know, look, you might be a pretty high pick right now as a freshman, but you're out of high school. Come in here, develop for a couple of years, and you're going to make a lot more money. And I think the track record has proven that. You said Benintendi. He's a perfect example of it. Heston Kerstad. I mean, Kevin Cobb. You look at all the guys that have come in and developed. And, you know, it's really a tribute to the coaching staff here, the facility, the opportunity these kids have to train. I mean, the new Hunt training facility down there is ridiculous. I mean, if I'm a high school kid coming in and I want to play Major League Baseball, this is where I want to be, because there's no better place to train and get better. And, you know, you mentioned Caden Wallace. He came in, he could have gone in the draft. I mean, it was kind of a crazy draft year with COVID, but, you know, he still could have signed after the draft. He chose to come here. Same with Robert Moore. I mean, and these guys have just continued to get better. And, you know, as a scout, I did a lot of stuff with the Yankees back in the day. I don't have a lot of time for it right now. I help with them a little bit, but as someone that scouted, you look, there's no better place to watch a kid. You know, can he compete in front of a big crowd on a Friday night under the lights with the pressure? You don't get that in A ball, rookie ball, A ball, double A. You start to get bigger crowds as you get up into triple A, but you don't get a lot of big crowds. So it's a really good way for these guys to develop in pressure situations and for scouts to say, hey, look, can this guy go out there, especially, you know, like some of these Friday night starters, can they go out there on a Friday night, toe the rubber and get it done with 15,000 fans yelling at them? You know, that's the closest thing they're going to get to that is playing Major League Baseball. So it's a really good test for these guys, not to mention the development side of it.
So you mentioned with this team, the lineup, the offense, that is what's going to power this team. You and I were talking the other day. I said it probably pains you to hear this, but it reminds me a little bit of Ole Miss's team last year because, you know, they won a lot of games like 10-9 and 14-10. They had that game against LSU. What were they down? 9-1 in the ninth inning, and they came back and won it. It seems to me like Arkansas has that type of capability at the plate this season. I mean, you listen to Dave Van Horn talk in the preseason. He talks about that he's probably got 12 position players that he's comfortable playing with. And really, you know, where you see the you know, the competition right now, I think, is in the outfield, where you've got six guys who are vying for probably three outfield spots plus the DH spot. And I think that, you know, one of the things that made last year's team so good was that you were able to bring Zach Gregory off the bench in a pinch hit situation, or to, you know, have Braden Webb come in and the defensive replacement. Of course, Charlie Welch did such great things, you know, in the times that he got to get in the lineup. And I think that they're probably in that situation again this year. So, like Van Horn said, you're probably going to have some sad faces when the lineup card is filled out at the start of the game. But more often than not, I think that you're going to see with this team, you're going to see a lot of different pieces get into games with the pieces that they have available offensively.
I think so. First of all, I got to say, Matt, it pains me to hear you say Ole Miss and Arkansas, any comparison whatsoever. So let's just get that out of the way. It took me a while to get over that. I think I'm over it now. I forgive you for saying that, but it pains me to hear you say that. But I do understand your comparison, and you're absolutely right. There is a lot of talent. And here's what's exciting about it is there's so many, you know, Dave's a guy that really, he's really good at pushing the right button. You know, if there's times where he'll call on a guy late in the game, maybe bring in a righty to face a lefty late in the game. And he always seems to know the right button to push to get it done. And looking at these guys, there's some talent on the bench that's not going to be starting. And you're right, there's probably at least 12 guys that could play on a whole lot of teams. And you're looking at some of these bats that are going to be able to come off the bench this year. It gives us a lot of versatility. It gives Dave a lot of versatility and, you know, those lefty-righty matchups. And I know he likes those a lot, especially when you get late inning in the SEC. So I think he's going to have a lot of different options coming off that bench this year. And it's going to be exciting to see. It's going to be real exciting to see who the guys are that step up. And, you know, the guys that get it done are going to be the guys in the lineup.
Let's go around the horn. These are the players who, in watching scrimmages, talking with coaches and players, this is kind of a rough look at what I think the lineup will look like opening day. Catcher, probably Michael Turner. This is a transfer from Kent State. That was a former all-conference player there. Dave Van Horn says that he looks like a big leaguer, a big left-handed power bat. And they lose some things, I think, from Casey Opitz in terms of, you know, pitch calling and just kind of feel for the pitching staff, because Turner obviously doesn't have the longtime relationships that Opitz had with so many of those pitchers. But I think defensively, they don't lose just a whole lot with him. He's got a really good arm to second base. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think Dylan Leach, the sophomore, who's only 18 years old. Remember, he came in as a 17-year-old. I think that, you know, he has improved quite a bit. And I think you're going to probably see both of them play behind the plate. But I think Turner's going to be the starter. Probably going to have Peyton Stovall at first base. He was the, you know, big-time recruit signee from last year's class. A lot of publications had him as a potential first-round pick. And the money wasn't right. He ends up coming to Arkansas. Big left-handed bat that I think is going to be a pretty memorable player for the Razorbacks. Up the middle, Robert Moore and Jalen Bat. Battles are back. One of the best double play tandems the Razorbacks have ever had. At third base, Caden Wallace is going to move there this year. That was his position at Greenbrier. He played in the outfield last year, really to get his bat in the lineup and to be able to help them tinker with the lineup a little bit. I think maybe the only mainstay right now in the outfield, Bubba, would be Braden Webb in center field. Defensively, Dave Van Horn says that he's as good as any center fielder he's ever had. And you think about the center fielders who've come in through here, Ben Intendi, Craig Gentry, Brett Eibner, those were all big leaguers. Dominic Fletcher and Christian Franklin were all SEC center fielders in the last couple, 3 years. I think that's pretty big praise to hear Dave Van Horn say that Braden Webb is as good as any of those center fielders, at least in the field.
Well, you know, no one's really seen Braden Webb at his best other than Dave Van Horn and his staff. And when he's healthy, the guy can rake. I mean, Matt, he can absolutely rake. And plus, he can go get it in center field. He led the team offensively pretty much in most categories, hit 7 home runs this fall. great at the plate, but the thing that's constant with him is the defense. And once again, you talk about being strong up the middle. You get Braden Webb in center field, Jalen and Robert up the middle, Michael Turner behind the plate, or Dylan Leach, either one. But I think I agree. I think Michael Turner's going to be the starter there. That's really strong up the middle. And the thing that we've added is I think the offensive side of it, Michael Turner can swing it. He's a left-handed bat. He's got some pop. He's more of a gap-to-gap guy, but he's got some pop in his bat, a veteran bat. Steals a lot of strikes behind home plate, can throw. He's got a good arm. I think he'll learn the pitchers. And the thing is about the pitch calling is, remember, you've got the earpiece that Hobbs can mic in and call pitches until he gets a feel for these guys. And maybe he's got a good feel. I've had a chance to talk to Michael quite a bit, and he really likes a lot of these guys on the bump, and he likes catching them. And I think they're starting to develop a pretty good relationship. And so I think it's going to be fun to watch that develop as we go out throughout the year.
And this year they can use the headsets in all games. That's a new NCAA rule. In the past years, you could only use them for SEC games. It's been expanded to every game that the Razorbacks can use that headset in this year. So that's a nice deal for Michael Turner. His early games, when they're playing Illinois State and Indiana and Louisiana Lafayette and Stanford, he can have that earpiece in during those games. Look at the other outfielders. We mentioned Zach Gregory. I think he has really improved over where he's been. And I think it's telling, too, that he's been voted a team captain. The players are really quite fond of him. Possible starter in left field. Jace Borfin is another possible starter in left field. He reminds me a little bit of Heston Kerstad, leg kick, power, left bat. Transfer from Oklahoma, was one of the real big high school prospects the year that he came out of high school, and was a good friend of Caden Wallace. Arkansas really wanted him out of Oklahoma City, but his dad and his brother played at Oklahoma. And so he went to OU for a couple of years, and now he's with the Razorbacks. In right field, Brady Slavin seems like he is a pretty good possibility to play there. There are some others. Chris Lanzilli is a transfer from Wake Forest. And remember that even if they don't get in the field, you're going to have one of these players probably as a DH. And you played outfield, Bubba. And what's interesting to me is that, say, like with the Slavins, they're asking him to go from first base to outfield. And I think you played some first base too with the Razorbacks, if I'm not mistaken. What's the big difference between playing those two positions? Generally speaking, what's Brady Slavin's looking at moving from first base to the outfield this year?
Well, the beauty of it is that he's on the right side of the field. For me and for most of the guys that I played with and talked to about defensive positioning, Matt, is if you're on the like first base to right field was no change. You're still reading the same angle of the ball off the bat. The only difference is you're catching a fly ball most of the time versus a ground ball. The hard switch is when you go from first base to left field. It's a totally different angle. So I don't think Brady's going to struggle in right field. I think he's, you know, now is he going to be as good as Caden Wallace was out there? Who knows? But he's just got to drive in more runs than he gives up, and we know he's going to do that. But I really think I think he's going to make that switch pretty easy. And just because, like I said, it's really about reading the ball off the bat and getting that good first step. And when you're on that side of the field, he's used to it at first base. I watched him a lot at first base. He's really quick with his first step at first base. And so all we're doing is transition into a little bit deeper position and playing the same angle off the bat. I think he's going to do fine.
A lot of freshmen on this team, and, you know, they're going to lose a lot of players this year to the draft. We mentioned Caden Wallace earlier. We think he's going to go to the draft this year. MLB has not set their draft date, and so we can't say for sure that he is because he's a second-year draft eligible. But by all indications, MLB is not going to have the draft again until July. So if they do, he'll be draft eligible, and a lot of people think that he'll probably sign after this season. But looking ahead to, you know, say like the 23-24 seasons, I think that there's a really strong core of freshmen on this team. We mentioned Peyton Stovall. Drake Varnado is an outfielder. He can also play some infield, real big power bat. Gabe D'Arcy's an outfielder. I've been really impressed with some of the swings I've seen from Max Solis, who they've got really playing all over the place. He's their third catcher. He's played some first base. He's played for them in the outfield. I think they've got a couple of really good infielders from the Kansas City area in Kendall Diggs and Jade Putz. Just a really strong core, Bubba. And I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier, the recruiting that they're doing, the reloading. It's not like maybe some of those early Van Horn teams where they would get to the College World Series and they'd be competitive for a couple of years, but it would probably be, you know, 3 or 4 years later before they had another World Series contender. with the way that they can do now in the transfer portal and with the quality of the athletes that they are recruiting out of high school, I just can't remember a time like this for Arkansas baseball where you really feel like they're going to be a contender from year to year.
I think so. And going back to that, I think I misspoke in the beginning. I think I said rebuild. I meant reload, because that's what DVH does every year. But, you know, those guys you mentioned, I mean, you know, you look at Drake Vernado. Van Horn said that he's possibly one of the best athletes they've had on campus. I mean, he can play outfield, he can play infield, you know, might end up being a shortstop down the road. Kendall Diggs, he's going to see some time this year. They like him. Really strong kid, left-handed bat, got a little pop to the pull side. You know, Solis, all kinds of power, hit a couple home runs in their last scrimmage outside. I mean, the future really looks bright here. You know, Gabe Darcy, another big power bat. I mean, it just goes on and on. You know, Stovall will eventually move over and probably play second base. I mean, it's just crazy to think how good these guys are going to be. And we're not even talking about some of the pitchers yet. There's some power arms that came in this year, freshmen, that are just possible first round picks here in a few years down the road once they develop and can command some of the stuff. They've got major league stuff right now. They just have to learn to command it. And so, yeah, the future definitely looks bright here. And it's just exciting every year. You know, now I think the transfer portal has kind of changed things a little bit. And, you know, we can talk about that probably on another day, but people want to come here and play for the Razorbacks. They want to play for Dave Van Horn and his staff. They love the facilities, best fans in America. And so people want to play here.
And I think for a lot of guys, you know, say like a Turner, where maybe they weren't a good draft, didn't have good draft stock in their last school, coming to a place like Arkansas, where the coaches see something in them, you know, can really improve their draft stock. And I think that'll be something that you'll see happen more often going down the road, with as long as the transfer rules don't change again. I was talking to Nate Thompson after a practice recently, and he mentioned these freshmen. He said, you know, this isn't a year where we're just expecting them to come in and sit on the bench and learn from the older guys. He said, you know, we're going to have some of those guys contribute for us this season. And so, you know, it feels like you're going to see several of those freshmen get into games. And one more note on some of those freshmen, Bubba, say like a Solis or a Gabe Darcy or even a Vernado, they all look like they're really unfinished athletically. Looking at some of those guys, they kind of remind me of like Chad Spanberger when you watched him as a freshman, and he had some power, but you could tell that his body wasn't nearly filled out. And if you look at Chad Spanberger in 2015 and you look at Chad Spanberger in 2017, really incredible difference. And I think you're probably going to see that from some of these freshmen right now.
Oh, I think so. And just their training that they do here. I'm sure you've been in and toured the training facility, the weight room. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. The weight training they have. Blaine Kinsley does a great job of putting strength, putting muscle on these guys. And I mean, it's just a big, strong, physical group of players. And like you said, as they start to develop more, I mean, it's crazy to think how high their ceilings are. And it's going to be fun, man. I'm really excited to see these guys develop, and excited about some of the stuff we have on campus right now.
The Whole Hog Baseball Podcast is sponsored by Massage Envy. Voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. Visit Mike and his staff in Tuscany Square at 2603 West Pleasant Grove Road in Rogers, or in Fayetteville at 3557 North Shiloh Drive. Massage Envy has services for everyone. MassageEnvy.com.
Massage Envy, with clinics in Rogers and Fayetteville, has been awarded Northwest Arkansas's best day spa and best massage. One of the reasons is our care for athletes, both serious and recreational. We now offer rapid tension relief sessions using a high-caliber vibrating tool and total body stretch sessions like the ones used by the PGA. Both of these new services can be combined with the always popular deep muscle treatment. So whether you compete or just want to relax, there is no place better than Massage Envy.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, stories and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today, wholehogsports.com.
You're listening to the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast.
For Arkansas in 2022, it feels like pitching is going to be the key to however far the Razorbacks can go. Big blow in the preseason. Peyton Pallette had to undergo Tommy John surgery. He was probably going to be the Razorbacks' number one starter. The feeling that I get with Pallette is that it's a huge loss for this team. Even though we don't know what kind of pitcher he was going to be, he was, you know, he's been in kind of a slow rehab from that elbow injury that he had against Florida last year in May. By all projections, he was going to be a high round draft pick, may still be, you know, depending on how an MLB team feels about him. I feel like Arkansas can overcome one loss like that. The key is going to be in this pitching staff. You can't have a second loss like that because, you know, Peyton Pallette was going to be the type of pitcher that was going to be able to get this team probably 80 to 100 innings, if not more, this season.
Well, and you said it, he's definitely got Friday night stuff, was going to be one of the top players taken in the draft this year, top pitchers, probably the first pitcher off the board this year. So it's a big blow, but it's better that it happened now. Now I hate it for Peyton Pallette because he worked so hard to rehab back from his injury last year. So you really feel for the kid. He's an Arkansas kid. I've got to see him kind of grow up and develop in Arkansas, and man, you just feel for the kid. But as far as the staff goes, you know, it's next man up. Someone's got to step up and do a job. And I think the talent's here, Matt, to really, you know, someone will step up and do that job, step into that Friday night role. And there's a good chance it's going to be Connor Nolan. I know he's worked really hard as well, developed a new pitch. He's got the cut fastball. That's a real popular pitch these days. And supposedly it's really just dominating the hitters out there in their scrimmage game. So, you know, he might be the guy to step up and get it done for us.
We'll talk about Connor here in just a second. One more thing about Peyton, and I thought it was interesting that you mentioned the timing of it. When he got injured last year, the timing could not have been worse for this team. It was the last regular season series right before they went down to Hoover for the SEC tournament. And, you know, by that point in the season, Bubba, it was like roles had already been developed. And a lot of the players were being sent off that weekend to go play summer ball. The ones who weren't going to be, you know, part of the team, you know, in Hoover or throughout the NCAA tournament. Talk about the timing of this and how it impacts the team when it happens early in the season the way it does, and how it affects the team late in the season, and how that affects the roles within the bullpen.
Well, I say it all the time. Baseball players, whether you're college, professional, whatever, we're creatures of habit, Matt. And so, you know, guys start to settle into their roles. And I think the fact that Peyton went down, other guys had to take on different roles that they weren't accustomed to doing. And I think that honestly, and you hate to say, you know, this one thing, because baseball, so many, you can look at every baseball game and say, wow, you know, this and this affected the outcome of that game. But I think Peyton Pallette going down is the difference in us being in Omaha or not. I think as he stays healthy, you know, we roll through NC State, we end up in Omaha. I think it's just a totally different outlook on the season or outcome to the season if Peyton stays healthy. Now, you never know. I mean, it's hard to say that, but that's just me, you know, looking from the outside in saying, wow, that's a huge loss for us. The guys had to do roles that they weren't used to doing. And, you know, hey, some guys stepped up really big for us. But boy, losing that piece of the puzzle at that time of the season was huge for us.
Connor Nolan's back and he's healthy. And you mentioned the cut fastball that he's throwing. I watched him throw in the first preseason inter-squad scrimmage that they had. And he just made several of their best hitters look silly. Jalen Battle said that. I mean, that was a quote. He said, he made me look silly in the box. And we're going to talk about the cutter a little bit more here in just a minute. But as far as it pertains to Connor Nolan, who we think is probably going to be the number one starter for this team, and rightfully so, you know, I think a lot of people forget how good he was as a starter when he was a freshman in 2019, freshman All-American. He was off to a good start in 2020, got an injury. Then the season gets shut down with COVID. He battled injuries all last season, came back, tried to pitch for him at the end of the season. I just don't think he was really built up like the other pitchers were. And that's why you saw him struggle there in May and in June, whenever he pitched. But what do you think about Connor Nolan being the number one guy on the staff and the people that you've talked to? I know they've been really impressed with him as well.
Well, for me, Connor Nolan's a huge makeup guy. He's got the makeup of Friday night guy, the pressure, the big stage, the lights, that's not going to bother Connor. You don't have to worry about that. I think last year he wasn't healthy. Even when he came back, he never got 100%. I think he's worked really hard this year. And I expect he's going to go out there Friday night. And, you know, we're saying he's going to be the Friday night guy. I anticipate him being the Friday night guy. And I think he's going to do a great job for us. And, you know, some people look and say, well, he really doesn't have Friday night stuff. But look, a lot of it's what's inside of you. You know, it really, you reach down inside of you. You know, you get out there on that mound on a Friday night and you bow your neck, you can find a way to get outs. And Connor's got that. He's got a two-seam fastball that rides in on the righties. Can really do damage in there. And then he's got his slider to go also. So with that two seam slider mix, and like we said, we'll talk about the cutter here in a minute, but that's really changed him as a pitcher. It's made that two seam way more effective. And that the two seam fastball still his best pitch. Last year, I think his forearm, it wasn't 100% healthy. He wasn't able to get the ball out front and get that sink in on the right-handed batter. So that ball started staying up belt high and guys were hitting it hard. And I think you're going to see a different Connor this year on the mound.
And I think the key with Connor too, or a key with him, is that he's not just a power pitcher. He can get strikeouts, but he pitches to contact a lot, and that can really buy you a lot of innings on a Friday night. Wouldn't surprise me this year, Bubba, at all to see him get into a lot of sixth, seventh, maybe even eighth innings just due to the pitch count.
I think you're right, and that's huge for the bullpen right now with a bullpen that's kind of, you know, we got some veteran guys down there that need to step up, but, you know, we really don't know who's going to take on what role right now, and so that's a great point, Matt. And I'll tell you, when I'm working with young pitchers, one thing that I do, I work on 0-0 counts all the time. I want that first pitch out. I know it's not glamorous. You know, I want that first pitch changeup. I want that, you know, that weak contact to the left side. Hit me a little ground ball to third and get a one pitch out, and I'm happy. And it's not as pretty as the strikeout. Everyone wants to strike out, but hey, an out's an out. And Connor's got no chip on his shoulder. So if there's a runner at third, less than two outs, and he needs a strikeout, he'll go for the strikeout. But if not, he'll take that first pitch, roll over to the left side, you know, and so that's what makes him really special, is he can get outs in multiple ways, and he knows how to do it.
I don't want to overhype a pitcher, but from all indications, Hagen Smith, this freshman left-hander from Texas, is the real deal. And if nothing else, he is advanced for a freshman pitcher. And I think you're going to see him in the starting rotation opening weekend. They haven't announced the starting rotation for opening weekend. If I was guessing, I'd probably say it's Connor Nolan, Hagen Smith, maybe Jackson Wiggins in some form or fashion. Those are the pitchers who you just kind of keep coming back to, hearing people talk about, and you see him starting in these scrimmages and whatnot. But back to Smith, you look at his numbers from high school, 7 no-hitters. I think he had like a 0.10 ERA as a senior at Bullard High School, 173 strikeouts and like 68 innings or something. And you look at those numbers, and I think, you know, for me, Bubba, the first thing I think is, okay, what was the competition that he was playing against? And I think there was probably some of that, you know, that the competition wasn't up to snuff. But I think the more that we see him against these freshman, sophomore, junior, even, you know, redshirt, junior, senior hitters at Arkansas, the more that you realize that this is really elite stuff coming from the left side, and it's only going to get better the more college coaching he gets.
Well, I think so, Matt. And back to the no-hitters in high school. Yeah, you never know who you're pitching against, but 7 no-hitters is 7 no-hitters. It's pretty impressive. But, you know, when I want to know about a pitcher, you know, I go to the catcher and I go to the guys facing him. And, you know, I want to know, you know, from the veteran guys, what's this guy look like? And the guys that have faced him have all said, hey, this kid is the real deal. He's a freshman, but he doesn't pitch like a freshman. He's got 3+ pitches. His fastball has changed. He's probably got way more confidence in those two pitches. He's kind of got a 3/4 arm slot, which makes it a different look that you don't see a lot. His slider's nasty. He's still kind of developing it. So I'd say it's probably his third best pitch. But, you know, talking to one of the guys, I won't say a name, but they said that they think he could pitch in the big leagues right now. He's got the stuff and the makeup, the mound presence to pitch in the big leagues right now. Now, that's a huge statement, but, you know, it's coming from a veteran guy. It's been around for a while. And so, you know, now he's a freshman. He's still got to go out there and prove it. But I think he's going to go out there and do a great job for us on hopefully on a Saturday weekend.
after Smith threw for the first time in the preseason, I was talking to Caden Wallace on the field, and Caden said, depending on the day, Hagan Smith is either the best pitcher or the second best pitcher on their roster right now with Connor Noland. And that's a, I think that's a pretty high praise. Some of the other pitchers, we'll talk about them here real quick. Possible starters. Zach Morris is kind of an interesting one. Matt Hobbs says that he's being evaluated as a starter. I think they like him as a setup pitcher in the middle innings. That's where I think he'll probably end up. I mentioned Jackson Wiggins had a really nice scrimmage during their second weekend where the velocity was really good, was getting a lot of outs. Austin Ledbetter is a freshman from Bryant, really good football player in high school, was a three-time state champion quarterback, chose to play college baseball. He's being evaluated as a starter. I think he'll pitch quite a bit regardless of where he is. A couple of other names, Bubba, that you hear are Mark Adamiak, the redshirt sophomore who came here from the Kansas City area. Really good velocity right now. I think he's got more movement on his pitches than he did. And then Heston Toll was one who came along, you know, toward the end of last season, who I think is going to be looked at as a starter, whether or not that's a weekend starter, midweek starter. You've got to have six, seven guys that you feel comfortable with starting. And those are some of the ones I think that they're looking at right now.
I think so. I tell you, a couple of the freshmen that you mentioned, Nick Moulton, they really like him, mid-90s stuff, fastball slider change guy. Slider is more, it's got more depth on it. It's more of a power breaking ball. But Nick calls it a slider, but he's got really good stuff. They see him factoring in this weekend on this year during the season at some point. They don't know what role he'll be in. You know, you did mention, though, Evan Taylor, you know, they've made a few, or Zach Morris, they've made a few adjustments with Zach mechanically that they really like. They talk about shortening his stride a little bit to make him a little more consistent. I do like that. He's been around the zone, but he might be, I like him more in that late inning role where he comes in and gets a few lefties out late in the game. There's Mark Adamiak that you mentioned. You know, he's got as good a stuff as anyone on the team. He's 97, 98. He's got a hard cutter. Just really good stuff. If he can remain consistent and just command those pitches a little bit, he's another guy that's going to be big into the mix, whether he ends up in a weekend spot or, you know, coming in getting big outs late in the game. He's a guy that can do it. So there's just a lot of options. Austin Ledbetter, four pitch mix guy, doesn't have the velocity of some of these other guys, but he's a big stage guy. He was a football player. He's used to the lights. Whether he's a Tuesday guy or maybe, you know, at some point ends up a Sunday guy. He knows how to get outs. More importantly, he can throw strikes and gets outs with four different pitches. And so Hobbs really likes that. He likes guys that can command the ball and are around the zone. And so, you know, there's a lot of different options there. I do like Jackson Wiggins, though. They've added a breaking ball. He was more of a fastball change guy last year, pretty much pitched to one side of the plate. I think now with a curveball, he's got a slider and a curveball. I think they like the curveball a little bit more. That makes him a different pitcher. So there's just so many options there. It's just who's going to be the one to step up. And you know, I don't want to leave out Zeb Vermillion. I love Zeb, Elijah Tress. You know, Elijah's got great stuff. Every time I watch Elijah Tress pitch, I think of Jake Reindel. He throws like Jake Reindel. He's just got to figure it out. It's some days he's really good, and some days he struggles a little bit. So, you know, it's just a matter of time before some of these guys really start to figure it out. Evan Gray's, he's another guy that's gotten way better over the offseason. So there's just so many options, Matt. And I tell you, we sit here and you and I are super excited about it. Boy, I tell you what, Dave and his staff really have their work cut out for them. There's a lot of things to figure out still going into next weekend.
I was going to get into some of those middle inning guys. You know, some things that stood out to me from the offseason was how some of these pitchers pitched in summer leagues. Mark Adamiak and Zach Morris were really good on Cape Cod. That's the best summer league in college baseball. Will McIntyre, who was kind of coming along at the end of 2020 and didn't pitch last season, was really good in the Northwoods League, another really good summer league. Gabe Starks went out to California and was an all-star in the California Collegiate League. And you mentioned Nick Moulton. Bubba, at this point, I think the closer, at least early in the season, and I don't know if there's going to be just one closer, but I think if you get into that, you know, type of situation where you need four outs and you're up by two runs and the other team's got a runner on base, you're going to call Gabe Starks or you're going to call Nick Moulton. Starks, in talking to Matt Hobbs and just watching him the first thing that stands out to me about Starks is that physically he does not look the same. This is like Isaiah Campbell level body transformation that I've seen from Gabe Starks. And he's really, really got a good looking pitch and a cutter that he's developed. And again, we're going to talk about the cutter and its prevalence on this team and in college baseball in just a minute. But I think Starks could be really big for this team on the back end.
I think so. You know, Phil and I raved about Gabe Starks last year. Every time we got a chance to see him, he just came in and got outs. And so we're really impressed with him. You know, Moulton, I agree. A guy just power stuff. And there's another guy, Jake Faherty, 98 plus. You know, he might be the first guy this year to hit 100 miles an hour. He's got electric stuff, really sharp slider, just needs to learn to command it. But he's a guy that, talking to Michael Turner, said he's just got electric stuff. If he can just figure out, you know, just kind of figure out how to command it just a little bit better. And there might be some growing pains with that, but we're going to see a lot of those guys out there this year. You get a chance to watch them kind of grow and develop. But at some point, they're going to be really good. And look, there's another transfer, Dylan Carter from Crowder. Dylan was a guy that came up through the ranks in Northwest Arkansas, Bentonville kid, you know, was a two-way guy. I used to hit with him back in the day, Matt. I guess I did such a good job, I turned him into a PO, but he's 95, 96 on the mound. And he's really good stuff. It's just a matter of learning to command it. I know that's a common theme that we keep talking about, but it's a big part of it with these young guys. It's just learning to command their stuff. They all have electric stuff. It's just figuring out how to throw it in the right spot at the right time. And that's the key.
Carter, I think, was all conference and 8-1 at Crowder last season. We mentioned some of the older pitchers, Vermillion, Trest, Ramage. It feels to me like, and I may be leaving somebody out there, it feels to me, though, that those older pitchers, the ones who have got 3-4 years or more experience within this program, who have been inconsistent to this point, that's going to be a really big key for how far Arkansas can go this season. Because I think at the end of the season, I think you're going to want to say that those three guys gave you anywhere from 50 to 80 quality innings, maybe not quality innings, but 50 to 80 innings of important baseball for this team to have had a pretty good run.
Well, I think so. I think you're absolutely right. And okay, look back at 2020. You know, statistically speaking, Kevin Copps was probably the worst pitcher on the staff in 2020. In their exit meetings, you know, we didn't know, or I don't know if Dave knew whether or not, you know, Kevin Copps was going to even come back and pitch in 2021. And you see how that turned out, probably the best year a pitcher has ever had in the history of college baseball. And so you just don't know what's going to happen with these guys. They're still learning. They're young. They're kids. They're still developing. And so I agree with you, Matt, 100%. One of these guys has to step up. And look, I've been a Zeb Vermillion fan from day one. I look at him and I'm like, man, this guy can get outs. And at times he showed flashes of it. Him and Tress are the same, you know, same boat. I really do. I think one of those guys is going to step up. Cole Ramage, you know, when Cole came in as a freshman, I remember him pitching in a College World Series, throwing that changeup. And on the air, I called it a Bugs Bunny changeup. And he made guys look silly with that straight change. You know, it's a matter of getting back to that and maybe adding something else to that. And I don't know really what, you know, how Cole's looked this far. I haven't gotten into his numbers yet. But, you know, those guys have proven in the past they can come in and get outs. And so we really need one of those guys or two or, you know, a few of them to step up and really be leaders down there in that bullpen this year.
A couple of other notes on pitchers. You mentioned Jack Faherty, the freshman right-hander from Kentucky. I was listening to Dave Van Horn talk a couple of weeks ago, and Dave Van Horn said, if you're a right-hander right now, you need to wear armor in the box against him. I said, you don't know if you're going to hit him or if he's going to hit you. And with the, you know, the velocity that he throws with, it can get a little dicey. A couple of other pitchers who we did not see last year, they were injured. You've got Nick Griffin, coming off of Tommy John surgery. That's a left-hander from Monticello. And Isaac Bracken is a graduate transfer right-hander from Northern Colorado. He came over, Shane Opitz, who's Casey Opitz's older brother, who worked with the team a year ago, actually kind of helped him get in touch with Arkansas. And then Shane Opitz ends up coming over as well from Northern Colorado. Bracken was one of their top starters at Northern Colorado. Now that's, you know, that's a low major type conference that Northern Colorado plays in. but he's an older, experienced pitcher. You know, we talked about guys like Michael Turner who come in. It's just kind of an opportunity for them to, you know, kind of get a second shot at impressing scouts. Both of them are coming off of elbow surgeries. Bracken was not Tommy John, but it was an elbow surgery that kept him out for last season. Griffin, Bubba, I'm sure you've seen him play growing up. The report on him coming out of high school was that this was one of the best left-handers in the country. He's not, you know, built up from a pitch standpoint yet. There's still a lot of building that he has to do. But I think the thought within the program is that, you know, maybe by midway through the season, and then obviously into the later part of the season, that he could be someone that they add from the left side that could give them some innings.
Well, when I was making up mock lineups, I put Nick Griffin as a sleeper for one of the starting weekend roles. I think he's that good. And I'll tell you, I know from experience, I coach the showcase route during the summer. So I'm out there, and Nick Griffin is a kid that has dominated. I take pride on my guys when they step out on the field. We don't always catch it and throw it straight. We will make some errors, but I tell you what, we hit the crap out of the ball, Matt. And Nick Griffin has had our number from the time he was probably 12 or 13 years old. Every time we faced him, I thought, this kid is the real deal. And I agree, he's probably he's the best left-handed pitcher I've seen come up in this area. I mean, the kid just dominates. He's got great stuff, three-quarter arm action, big kid. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be a kid in the mix. I think he's going to be really good. And then Isaac Bracken, he's a Friday night guy for Northern Colorado. He's a converted shortstop, low to mid-90s guy, really athletic on the mound. For me, a guy that was a position player first, it gives them an advantage. They understand a little bit what's going through that hitter's mind. And so I think it helps, but he's a guy that could factor into the mix also out of that bullpen.
One of the things, you know, that we've mentioned here is that you're seeing a lot more Arkansas pitchers are coming into this season throwing that cut fastball. Now this season, one of the things that we're going to do on each of our podcasts is we're going to let Bubba just kind of take us inside the game a little bit more. Bubba, obviously you played in the big leagues, longtime professional baseball player. When you see a pitcher throwing a cutter as a hitter, what makes that pitch so effective? And why do you think that you're seeing more college pitchers go to that pitch?
Well, it's a pitch. You know, back in the day, I was fortunate enough. I kind of came up the ladder with Mariano Rivera. We played together in the minor leagues throughout. And Mariano was a very average. If you look at his number, pitchers, pitching wise, his numbers were okay. And I'm sure everyone knows the story. I'll keep it short, but playing catch one day with Ramiro Mendoza in the outfield before a game, he threw a pitch and it moved. And he's like, wow, what was that? And that's where he learned his cutter. It just happened. Mariano calls it a gift from God, and it totally changed him as a pitcher. He went on, now he's in the Hall of Fame, the best closer of all time. Kind of happened with Copps last year. His career was kind of teetering on, you know, struggling. Copps learned the cutter. And the things that make Copps' cutter so special, Matt, is he could spin it on a couple of different axes. Same release. It looks the same out of the hand, but it spins different, so you get a different result. And as a hitter, what makes the cut fastball so different? So you look at Connor Nolan. Connor's a two-seam cutter guy, so he can throw the ball right down the middle of the plate. And as a hitter, they look the same. It's called tunneling. That pitch comes down the middle of the plate. One pitch, if you're a left-handed batter, is going to cut in on you. Just the last 10 to 12 feet, that ball's going to cut in on you. The other one is the two seams going to start on the same tunnel. And at the last minute, it's going to go down and away. So as a hitter, you have to make a decision. You almost have to guess inner half or outer half and hope you guess right. Cause if you guess wrong, you're out. And that's what makes the cutter so effective. The ball looks just like a fastball coming out of your hand. And so, you know, without getting into all the science and the analytics behind it, we don't track a ball. If a pitch is 90 plus, it's proven that you don't track the ball the last 12 to 15 feet. You hit that ball based off of muscle memory. So our whole lives, we know what a fastball does. It comes into the zone. We know where it ends up. We swing the bat where that ball is going to end up. When you're facing a cutter, you have to trick your brain or trick your body into swinging where the ball is going to end up. I faced Mariano in spring training games, and it wasn't fun. But I told myself, it's here. It's going to end up here. You've got to swing where the ball isn't. So you really have to kind of trick your brain into swinging into that spot. That's what makes it so tough. And so a guy like Connor Nolan, like I said, he could basically pitch with two pitches, pitch right down the middle of the plate and make that hitter make a decision. And it's a pitch that you just don't see out of the pitcher's hand. And it's really changed Major League Baseball. You see these guys resurrect their career off of cutters, and now you're seeing it in the college level, you know, and it's, you know, you look at some of the Razorback pitchers, Connor Nolan, it's going to change him as a pitcher. Throughout college baseball, guys are wanting to learn that pitch now. And I think Kevin Copps has a lot to do with it. And I guarantee there's a lot of high school coaches trying to figure it out right now too, and to teach it to their high school kids. You just have to generate a certain amount of arm speed to make that pitch work. But it's a great pitch. You know, people say it was around in the, you know, it's been around for 50 years. They just didn't know to call it a cutter. But Mariano Rivera really put it on the map, and it's just kind of carried on from there. And so it's going to be fun watching these guys throw it this year.
Well, it's as effective as Nolan is throwing the cutter in these scrimmages. You don't even think it's his best pitch.
Well, talking to Michael Turner, it's his second best pitch. Michael said his two-seam fastball is still his best pitch. So if Connor Nolan's facing a right-handed batter, you know, I mean, I feel for the guys because he really does, like I said, have to guess. If he guesses cutter and he throws a two-seamer in, they're going to be hitting it off their knuckles, and they're probably going to break their bat. And if they're looking two-seamer in and get the cutter away, they're going to miss it by 2 feet. And so it really makes it hard on a hitter. And not to mention, you know, Connor's got other weapons to go with that. But those two pitches alone make him a totally – or just adding that cutter has made him a different pitcher on the mound, just a totally different force on the mound.
You know what it reminds me a little bit of, Bubba? When Andrew Benintendi won the National Player of the Year, the Golden Spikes Award in 2015, you know, the year before he had not done very well. He broke that bone in his hand, the hamate bone, and he stayed in Fayetteville all summer. And Mike Struhal, who was the strength and conditioning coach at that time, put him on this big workout plan. He looked completely different physically when they came back for fall practice in 14. And so he has the big Golden Spikes here, and then nobody wants to play summer ball for the next few years. They want to be put on the Benny plan. And I think you're kind of seeing that now with this team. You see Kevin Copps have so much success with that pitch. Now all the pitchers are coming back and they want to throw that cutter.
Yeah, you're right. And the hitters want to stay here and get stronger. You know, it's funny. I know we're talking about the cutter, but Blaine Kinsley, his big thing is, I love talking to Blaine because he talks about a hitter, you know, hey, he wants his guys strong. That way, when they step up to the plate, they feel invincible, you know, because they feel that bat in their hand. They feel big. They feel strong. They feel invincible. And I think it's the same with the pitchers. When they stay here, they develop, they fine tune their pitches. They get bigger and stronger. They get on that mound and they feel like, hey, that's my plate right there. And they own it. And I think it's awesome to see. And it goes back to one of the very first things we talked about, Matt. It's just the development of the pitches, the players here at University of Arkansas. And I think it's unmatched across the country. I think our guys get better and they get more development than any other program in the country. And it shows on the result out there on the field.
Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. Great therapists and estheticians go along with a new service that I am truly excited about. Rapid Tension Relief uses a special tool that will melt the tension and soreness away. Trust me, you will not be disappointed in the results. I highly recommend this feature along with a total body stretch assisted stretch program. Whether you are competing at a high level or just want to relax, these services are for everyone. Massage, rapid tension relief, total body stretch, deep muscle treatment massage, you choose. Or you can try any combination of those. So the next time you're feeling tight, make sure to call my friends at Massage Envy.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Now let's take a look at the week ahead, presented by Grease Pig.
Typically during this segment of the podcast, we'll talk about the week ahead, but there's no game coming up until next weekend when the Razorbacks play Illinois State at Baum Walker Stadium. So we're just going to give you a preview of the opponents that the Razorbacks are going to play. We're going to talk a little bit about the Razorbacks schedule for 2022. The segment's brought to you by the Grease Pig. For 20 years, they've specialized in serving UA students, faculty, and staff with two locations in Fayetteville on College Avenue and MLK Boulevard. The Grease Pig has experience for all your repair needs and, of course, complete service oil changes staffed with ASE certified master technicians. They also provide tires and alignment services at their location on College Avenue. The Grease Pig, it's all about taking care of you, and they're a proud supporter of the Whole Hog Baseball podcast. Bubba, the schedule this year is really notable. You know, you get into this cycle and LSU, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss, if you play them away, you play all of them away. If you play them at home, you play all of them at home, and they're all in Fayetteville this year. But then it gets a little bit more value to the home schedule, the season tickets this season, with Vanderbilt also coming to Fayetteville. I cannot remember a home schedule for Arkansas that's as good as LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. You're talking about the two teams that played in last year's national championship series, and you're talking about all four of those teams are in the top seven of the preseason coaches poll.
I'll tell you what, I think that's why tickets are so hard to get, Matt. It's crazy right now. Everyone wants to be at Baum Walker, and it's going to be a special season. You're right, though. When we get a chance to play those four teams at home, it's a tough schedule, but it's a huge benefit for us to play at Baum Walker. I mean, you look at, you know, we've got the best fans, the best fans in the nation. We got the best facility in the nation. So to have those guys come into our house, it's a game changer for us for sure. And if you look, you know, one thing that stood out to me, and I'm not big on who played who and what they did, but last year we were 4-0 against Mississippi State and Vandy. Those were the two teams that played in the College World Series championships here. Just thought I would throw that out there, you know, because it was a great year last year. I know it's time to turn the page, and but it was a great year for the Razorbacks last year.
Yeah, Arkansas was also 3-1 against Tennessee, who went to Omaha. They beat Texas, who was in the national semifinals. Just a great season last year. Pretty remarkable when you look at all the different teams that they played. The only team that went to Omaha that they had a losing record against was North Carolina State, who they lost to in the Super Regional. There is going to be a lot of focus early in the year on that Round Rock Classic, where they're going to play Indiana, Stanford, and Louisiana Lafayette. But in talking to Dave Van Horn, he says, do not overlook opening weekend. He thinks that Illinois State has got some pitching. Their pitching coach was actually, I think, his number one starter when he took Nebraska to the College World Series in 2001, R.D. Spees, who used to be at the University of Arkansas Little Rock, his first year at Illinois State. And Illinois State's a team that's come into Fayetteville and had Arkansas's number a few times. If you remember, they beat Arkansas just before the COVID shutdown in 2020. It was part of that losing streak that the Razorbacks had. Really interesting opening series there with the Redbirds.
Well, it's a tough opener, especially when you've got some young guys that are going to be out on the field for the first time. You know, they've got a veteran club, they've got a veteran pitching staff. And so, you know, we're going to see some good arms out there and some veteran players on the field. And that's the thing with this COVID, all these COVID transfer portal, all this, you're playing some guys. Some of these teams are going to have guys that are 24, 25 years old out there on the field, and it makes it tough. Because we're going to be fielding some freshmen out there. And so there's not going to be an easy weekend, I don't think, for us this season. There's going to be a lot of good teams coming in here. But, yeah, Illinois State, that's a tough one, opener for us. But I tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. I just hope the weather straightens up and we can get out there and play some ball.
Yeah, the weather is always a tough thing this early in the season, especially for some of these teams that are coming down from the north, like Illinois State, UIC, Illinois Chicago comes in for a series later in March. A lot of times these teams are on the road for like the first 14, 15, 17 games of the season just because they can't get onto their home field. And you're talking about programs that they don't have the resources that Arkansas has. They don't have the Fowler Center where they can go into and, you know, kind of simulate a game and those types of scrimmages. And so it's always interesting what you're going to see from those teams. Also on the weather, when they go to Round Rock, you know, last year they played in Arlington, and that was right after the big freeze. The roads had just cleared up enough for them to get down there to play Texas Tech and Texas and TCU. In fact, I think it was delayed by one day. The start of it was. It was a Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then the next weekend, it kind of shows you the craziness of the weather in our area and down there in Texas. It was what, in the 30s, 40s when they played in Arlington. The next weekend they had the Round Rock Classic just down 35 near Austin. And I think one of the games was played at 71 degrees. So you just never know what you're going to get when they're playing outdoors. And that's the real big key for Round Rock this year is in Arlington, you can close that roof. In Round Rock, you're playing outside. This is, you know, they're going to be battling the elements when they take on these teams. And I think there's going to be a lot of anticipation for that game against Stanford on Saturday. Stanford is, I believe, number 5 in the preseason coaches poll.
I think you're right. And then, you know, it goes back to who do we start that game, Matt? And then, you know, do we start a freshman against them? Do we flip-flop the rotation, throw a veteran guy like Connor Nolan against them? It'll be interesting to kind of see how Dave approaches that. I know he likes to get their guys in their roles and keep them there, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, kind of what he does with that. And look, I'm a Moneyball guy, and you know, we talk a little bit about Copps. You know, when it comes to replacing Copps, we're never going to have another Kevin Copps here. But, you know, we can have three guys that can put up similar numbers to Kevin Copps. We combine those three guys and form one guy, you know, that's similar to Kevin Copps. It'll never be a Kevin Copps year again. I mean, you're never going to see that. But I do think we have the weapons there, and it's going to be fun watching it all come together. And Dave's the master at kind of putting that puzzle together. And so looking forward to seeing that happen.
I don't know if a lot of people remember this. Stanford was almost in Vanderbilt's shoes in Omaha last year. They had Vanderbilt on the ropes in an elimination game, and had Stanford won that game and eliminated Vanderbilt, they would have been in Vanderbilt's situation when the COVID outbreak happened with NC State. They were that close to being in the national championship last season against Mississippi State, and I think they got a lot of their players back. Hey, Bubba, do you know who went to Indiana to play baseball?
Should I know this, Matt?
You should. It's Phil Elson.
Oh, see, Phil Elson.
Yeah, Phil Elson told me about 5 years ago. He said that he went to the University of Indiana as a freshman, and I don't know if he tried out, but he thought he was going to play baseball for the Hoosiers. So you need to ask him about that.
I do. Hey, by the way, I had him in the cage the other day. His swing's looking better. Phil's been working out a little bit. He got up to 88 exit velo, so he's Phil's he might make a comeback with this transfer portal. He might have some eligibility left. You never know.
A newbie like me in the cage, what do you think I can get to at exit velocity?
I don't know. We'll get up there. I'll tighten your swing up a little bit. You're a big guy. You might be dropping some bombs.
I don't know about that. Yeah, we need to talk to Phil about playing in Indiana before they play the Hoosiers on Friday night in Round Rock. Just a couple other schedule notes. They play at Florida this year, but really what I think excites people about this team, Bubba, you know, they've won 3 straight SEC West championships, one, you know, outright or shared. And I think one of the reasons that you see them, you know, either projected or to be second, a lot of people think it's going to be Arkansas or Mississippi State, is because they get to play so many of their really tough games at home. What do you think the value is of that, being able to play those tough games where you've got such a great home field advantage?
I think it's huge in college baseball, and especially here at Baum Walker. You look at our record over the past several years, we're a totally different team here at Baum Walker. Of course, last year we went out on the road and got some huge wins, but when we play here at home and our fans are behind us, this team is just, you know, they kind of have a refuse to lose mentality. We always find a way to win, and that's what made these Dave Van Horn teams special over the last several years.
I think that's what made the NC State series so surprising last year, was that they won game one and they had been so good at home. I think it had been over 2 years since they lost a home series, a 3-game home series at Baum Walker before NC State won. And yeah, I thought NC State was going to win a national championship at the end of the last season. And that's going to be one of those great, what might've been deals, you know, for the rest of our lives. What would NC State's baseball team have done? Because Arkansas beat so many great teams last year. And so for somebody to come into Fayetteville and win a super regional like that, that was just so surprising to me.
You know, we say all the time that in baseball, anyone can beat anyone on any given day. But I tell you, Matt, I'd already punched our ticket to Omaha, especially going into that third game. I thought we had it. They had a freshman on the mound. We had Kevin Copps. I thought we were going to score a bunch of runs. And, you know, that's just the game of baseball, though. Hey, give those guys credit. Hats off to them. they came in and played a great weekend series against us. And, you know, they earned that spot. And, you know, we had a few chances. You know, you look back at the game and we had opportunities, but, you know, hats off to them. They came in and played hard. And, boy, I hate what happened to them. I hate this whole COVID thing that happened to them against Vandy. And, you know, I hate that Vandy just got a cakewalk to the championship. I think NC State would have rolled them. But, you know, it is what it is, man. But you're right. That's something people are going to look back at for a long time. But, you know, you give me that same scenario every year, we'll take it. I think we're going to Omaha, you know, 9 times out of 10.
All right, we'll be back next week with another Whole Hog Baseball podcast. We'll know a little bit more, I think, about starters, at least starting pitchers for the series against Illinois State. We'll have a guest on to talk more about the Redbirds and get to know that opponent. And, hey, this was fun. I'm looking forward to doing this all season.
Looking forward to it, Matt. It's going to be a fun year, buddy.
You can catch Bubba on the Razorback Sports Network game broadcasts, and you can visit us at WholeHogSports.com. We're in full swing with our baseball coverage. Lots of great content on the website right now. Hope you'll also subscribe to our podcast. You can find us by searching Whole Hog Radio on Apple, Spotify, or most other podcast stores. That's three words, WHOLEHOGRADIO, Whole Hog Radio. Be sure to catch the latest basketball podcast of Mid-America, where we recap the Razorbacks' big win over number one Auburn earlier this week. Again, we'll be back with another baseball podcast next week to preview the season opening series against Illinois State. For Bubba Carpenter, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.